www.bestofbuy.com.
Hello, folks. This is Mark Thompson, attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show, folks. 540 AM, 101 or 92.7 FM every Monday night at 7 PM. We're here tonight focused in on the Supreme Court's decision on June 24th, reversing and overruling Roe v. Wade, which was the law for almost 50 years that gave women the right to choose and control their reproductive rights. Most folks had really thought that was sort of a settled right and woke up, found out that the news leak was right, that there were this five folks on the Supreme Court were going to get rid of Roe, and they did. I had the pleasure of having Keldo Royes from the state Senate on the first half, and I'm really honored and privileged to have Greta Neubauer, another one of our progressive leaders in the state and the current minority leader in the assembly. Good evening, Greta. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really grateful to be here and be able to talk about what's going on in Wisconsin.
So, as a young woman, as a young leader in the assembly, how have you seen this play out? What's the, you know, sort of the public response, and what are you hearing on the streets?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. So right after the draft leaked, we organized a rally in Racine, and I went out a couple days later, and many people came to downtown Racine who were angry, who were despairing, who wanted to know what they could do to take action. And I had three people come up to me at that rally and talk to me about what it was like to live before Roe v. Wade. And I've heard a little bit about this because my grandmother actually did reproductive rights work prior to Roe v. Wade, and after Roe v. Wade with Planned Parenthood in Minnesota, experienced bomb threats, sort of the full scope of that history. But I talked to these three people, one of whom said, I accessed an abortion prior to Roe v. Wade. I was very grateful that it was a positive experience for me, and it all worked out okay. Another said, I had a botched abortion, and I was very concerned that I would never be able to have children. And the third person said that she was a social worker prior to Roe, and she worked with an 11-year-old girl who was a victim of incest, who became pregnant, and they were very concerned that she would not live through delivering her child. Thankfully, she did. But that really brought home for me, you know, what we face. And I think I grew up hearing these stories about my grandma and the work that she did, and just never imagined, frankly, that we would be in this moment. You know, Kelda may have imagined that, you know, folks were reading the signs, but I'm still stunned. And I think so many people are, because it is not very common in this country to have a right enshrined in the law or by the courts and then have that explicitly removed. So, you know, I continue to hear that anger, that despair, and also that deep commitment from so many people to continue fighting for reproductive rights for all of us. And I'm already in conversations with people locally in Racine and statewide about what comes next in the fight.
So let's sort of turn to that. What do you see coming down the road in terms of the fight, and what can each of us start to do or do to really get our way back to a more perfect union, a union where all of us have equal rights? And you know, we've been trying to get there for a long, long time, and it seems like this court wants us to take us back. So what do you see down the track?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll share, I was talking to some folks here in Racine today, and we were thinking of this as sort of three different prongs of the work. The first being advocacy. We, of course, need to repeal the criminal abortion ban in Wisconsin. And that is going to be a long fight, I think, unfortunately. We can't make that happen tomorrow. But we need to continue to keep the pressure on elected officials and make clear that those who stand against abortion are not with the majority, and that we will hold people accountable. We will show up at the Capitol. We will advocate against more restrictive laws on contraception or other privacy issues. We need to continue to demonstrate that the public stands for comprehensive access to healthcare, including reproductive rights. Secondly, we need to get involved politically. You know, Kelda talked a little bit about this, but we have to make sure that Governor Evers is reelected. We need to make sure that we do not lose Governor Evers' veto power in the Assembly and Senate, which means hanging on to our numbers as we go into the fall elections and hopefully adding more seats and moving towards a majority. And then I would say, finally, it's direct care, right? It is recognizing that, you know, I'm here in Racine, we're close to Illinois. It is not a crime to help someone access a legal abortion in Illinois. And I know that many people are looking for ways to support transportation or other expenses, supporting people to get the care that they need in a way that is safe and accessible. So I see those as sort of the three different avenues that we all have to get involved and to advocate. And over the coming days and weeks, I know that those opportunities will be in front of all of us, and we will continue to share those as we go forward.
So, you know, the work in front of us is really, really sort of monumental in a way. And let's just spend a little time talking about your first point in terms of repealing the, you know, the abortion ban. I don't know if it's sunk in yet, but I think a lot of folks still don't understand that we're looking at now as a law that was in effect in 1849, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yep.
I mean, you know, to think about just that conceptually, that that's a law that is going to govern us in 2022. I mean, we only became a state in 1848.
Right. I mean, as Kelda said, many of us were not considered people who should have equal access to rights in 1849. And to think that that form of government, right, that was so unrepresentative, would be deciding how we live our lives now is it's hard to take. It's hard to take.
No, but I think we have to figure out how to get that point home to folks, right? 1849, women didn't have a right to vote, right? So this is a law that was passed by men only, mm-hmm. right? And you would think that there would be moderate Republicans that would question that whole premise. What are you hearing from moderate Republicans?
Yeah, well, you know, what the numbers show in Wisconsin is that there is overwhelming majority support for access to reproductive health care. And seeing as Wisconsin is a state that's really quite evenly divided in terms of partisanship and partisan identification, what that means is that there are a number of people who typically vote Republican who support access to abortion.
Right. And a significant number, right? I mean,
if
we look at the last two presidentials, the difference between the Republican and the Democratic candidates, you know, who won are virtually 20,000 some votes. And then when you're talking about two-thirds, we're talking about tens of thousands of people that are obviously not, you know, Democrats.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I think it's incumbent on us, you know, as elected officials and advocates to reach those folks, right? And to remind them that they can get involved, that they can reach out to their elected officials. You know, as you all were discussing earlier, Wisconsin is very gerrymandered. And what that means is that Republican legislators have a significant majority in the Senate and Assembly, despite typically not getting a significant majority of the votes, right? What that does mean, though, is that there are Republican voters in districts represented by Republican legislators who have the power right now to really put some pressure on those elected officials, right? And we know that it's partisan out there, right? It's hard to break ranks. But we also know that elected officials are moved when people show up and when people call and when people make clear that they don't agree with their elected officials' position on an issue. And so I do think it's absolutely incumbent on all of us to create opportunities for folks to engage in the coming months when we get back into legislative session, in particular in January, to provide, again, those opportunities for folks to engage and show up and make clear their position on reproductive health care.
You know, you touch on this issue of how gerrymandered we are, and it sort of ties into this point that you made about that it's so important in November to reelect Tony Evers as governor and to also maintain a veto-proof numbers in the Senate and the Assembly, right?
And exactly. Yeah.
You know, the governor did call a special session to try to address this, right? Tell my listeners what happened.
Yes. So the governor called this special session for last Wednesday, so 2 days before the final decision came out on Roe v. Wade. And Republicans did not even come into the Capitol to talk with us about the issue. Now, I think the very least that they could do, given that many people have just lost significant rights, is come to the Capitol and have a conversation, right? But they didn't even do that. They gaveled in and they gaveled right out of the special session in the Senate and then the Assembly, which means that we will not be considering overturning the 1849 abortion ban in the legislature at this time. We will, of course, continue to push for reconsideration of that issue and to codify our rights. But Republicans at this point do not even seem willing to have that conversation with us.
All right, Greta, we are going to go to a break and then we're going to come back. And hey, folks, I'm here with Greta Neubauer, the Assembly Minority Leader, one of the upcoming superstars of the Democratic Party, progressive voice. We'll be right back, folks, to talk more about what we can do after we lost our rights with the overruling of Roe v. Wade. We'll be right back.